Hello, everybody. Josh Brown here, back for another great episode on Franchise Euphoria. Well, today's episode is brought to you by IndieFranchiseLaw.com, a leading resource in the franchise space to help you if you're considering buying a franchise, turning your business into a franchise, or growing your business through a licensing or franchise structure. So go on, check it out, IndieFranchiseLaw.com. I think you'll find a lot of valuable and free information as you continue to kind of weigh franchising and licensing and the growth of your business. Without further ado, I hope you enjoy today's episode. So on today's episode of Franchise Euphoria, I'm really excited because I interviewed Danae Wolf. I met Danae just about a week or so ago. I heard her through a Facebook group that I'm involved in called Total Life Freedom, and she came in to speak to the group about the CARES Act and the different components of it as she has studied it in great depth. In fact, she's read through it twice, all 850 pages of it twice. She's got a background in franchising and business, and now she has a business called The Chic CFO, where she serves as outsourced CFO for businesses. She's really energetic, really passionate, and she knows this CARES Act inside and out. And on today's episode, we focus primarily on the Paycheck Protection Program, because that is something I've been getting a lot of questions on. And I wanted to have somebody on like Danae who can explain it and give their take on it as well. So I hope you enjoy this interview. There's lots of really good applicable information for the CARES Act, for the Paycheck Protection Program, and just learning about Danae's story is worth the listen as well. So without further ado, enjoy this interview with Danae Wolf. Hi, Danae. Welcome to Franchise Euphoria. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you on. It was on super short notice. You know, as you know, I had heard you give a presentation to a whole bunch of people, and I thought you just did a great job explaining the CARES Act and everything relating to the Paycheck Protection Program and all the stuff going on right now during the crisis that our whole country and world finds ourselves in. And then when I started looking at your background too, where you were a franchise owner and you had all these great entrepreneurial experiences, I thought it would be fantastic to have you come on to Franchise Euphoria podcast, share a little bit about your background, and then we can dive in to some pertinent parts of the CARES Act, as I think that will be very helpful for a lot of franchisees and franchisors out there.
Perfect. Sounds good.
So how did you get started on this whole entrepreneurial journey?
So I graduated in 07, which was like the last crazy recession we went through. And at the time, you know, you graduate and you have like the stars in your eye and you think you're going to climb the corporate ladder and all these amazing things are going to happen. But instead, we graduated and everyone was losing their jobs. No one was hiring. It was like the worst time to graduate. So I remember looking around at all of these people that my whole life I had, you know, deemed to be successful, and they were getting laid off. You know, I'm seeing it in my own family, seeing it in my own neighborhood and our social circles. And I just kept thinking, well, they're losing their jobs based on decisions made at the top. You know, they just follow direction and they really didn't have little say in what they did. And now they're paying the costs. But the people at the top are still there. So I decided, you know, if I'm going to go down, it's going to be because of me. I don't want anybody else in charge of how my life ends up. So I went to my parents and I said, I'm not going to get a job. I'm going to start a business because I want to be in control of my destiny. And my dad was like, get a job. Like, you're not starting a business. You have no idea what you're doing. No, I will not get you a business loan. Like, you need to go get a job. So I was like, okay, then I'm going to get a job that moves me, you know, closer in the direction that I want to be. So I actually very much lucked out that I found a situation where a woman was opening a franchise. She wasn't supposed to be. It was kind of this family situation of her brother started it. Ended up going toward her to take it over at the last second. So she was about 3 months away from opening. She happened to be extremely pregnant and live 4 hours away from where the business was operating. What? So she was looking for someone to come in and take over through construction, through everything. And she's like, listen, I've never owned this franchise before in my life. Like, I'm bailing my brother out, because she had other franchises, but not this particular one. So she's like, I really need someone who just like wants to get in there and learn as they go. And I was like, I'll do it. Like, I'll look for any opportunity to get, you know, my hands into this type of situation. So let's go for it. And I ended up going through the construction, setting everything up, learning all of the ins and outs, you know, hiring people, training people. And I learned as I went, because she was, you know, 4 hours away and very pregnant and just not, she didn't really know. I couldn't call her for help.
What type of franchise was it?
It was a Massage MB, which is like a spa franchise.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That's a very big, very big franchise. So I dove into that head first. And in the first year, I hit $1 million in revenue. And I took that to go back to my parents and was like, look what I did. And like, it wasn't even my business. Like, imagine what I could do if it was my business. And my parents were still kind of like, no, we're not going to help you. Like, it's been a year. Like, maybe you had beginner's luck. So I ended up partnering with a friend who was a wonderful photographer. And she said, you know, I wish I could just focus on my craft. Like, I hate the business side of it. And I was like, well, here's my opportunity. So I was like, how about we partner up and I do all the back end? And she was like, this sounds great. So we rebranded. I did a website. Like, we did a whole brand new launch and marketing. And all she had to do was do the pictures. I did everything else. And a year into that, we had paid off all this brand new, like, state of the line equipment that we purchased. And it was just really good another year in. So I went back to my parents and I'm like, okay, I have two examples now. So they were like, okay, well, let's start exploring options and you can present it to us. And I just felt like, because I think maybe there was a little bit of self-doubt because I was so young and because I was also just so comfortable with the franchise model, I decided immediately that I wanted to go the franchise route. I felt like it would just be a business plan, you know, in a box, like ready to go. Plus, I was extremely comfortable with how everything worked because I was, you know, running the Massage MB. So I probably met with, I couldn't even tell you, it was just so long ago, probably like 10 different franchises. I knew I wanted food, literally just because my brother said, what are you passionate about? And I kind of said it as a joke. I said, food.
So that's why you went away from like the massage one that you were,
yes,
you know, well, originally, and you went into food. Okay.
I would have never gone the massage route simply because that location was in the area where I lived. I knew I wanted it to be in the area where I lived. And ethically, I just didn't think that was appropriate. What was I extremely well suited to run one? Yes, but that would have been so inappropriate to kind of just open up in their backyard as a competitor.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't have liked that too much.
Yeah, so I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, I'll go with food. So I ended up with Primo Hoagies, which is a local franchise around here. I think they probably have like 100 locations or so. Ended up buying two of them. And it was a different ballgame when it was actually mine. It was actually my store.
It always is. It always is, Danae.
Completely different. And I was dealing with, you know, completely different numbers and statistics. And the first year in, I had to go to my parents and ask to co-sign on a second loan. And my parents were obviously not pleased. And I realized, you know, the day we were closing in the lawyer's office, I was like, I need to change my approach because I'm working 7 days a week. I'm making as many sandwiches as I physically can. I'm cleaning toilets. I'm bussing tables. Like, I'm making deliveries. I'm doing all these things. And I'm broke. And I was like, I need to take a different approach. So I decided to start working on my business instead of in my business. And I realized the power of knowing your numbers, which I had never really thought about before. I was kind of stuck in a lot of the vanity metrics, you know, well, am I getting good reviews? Or, you know, do I have good rapport with the customers? I didn't know, well, what are my food costs? What are my payroll percentages? I didn't know any of that. So I became immersed in that. I took every online course, read every book, watched every YouTube video. And within 3 years, I had paid off both locations. I paid $160,000 in cash. I had hired a regional manager, so I wasn't working in the businesses at all. And it all came about because I knew my numbers inside and out. And it was just simple math. If you see your food costs are here and they're supposed to be there, you tweak that, all of a sudden you're profitable. And I found it to be so powerful that I started volunteering at our local women's business center just to teach female entrepreneurs financial literacy. And the classes just started expanding and men started coming. And then next thing I knew, people were asking me if they could hire me. And I was like, well, you know, I have two restaurants. Like, that's not really what I do. Like, this is just kind of like a passion of mine. And people were just insistent. And I said, okay, well, tell me why. Like, why do you want to hire me? Like, you have an accountant already. Why do you want to switch gears and come to me? And it was overwhelmingly the same exact response. If my accountant sends a report, I don't understand it. But half the time, they don't send it. And if I ask for it, I don't get a response. But it really doesn't matter because when it hits my inbox, I open it and it means nothing to me. And then all of a sudden at the end of the year, I owe taxes. I don't know why. I don't know where my money's coming from. I don't know where it's going. And I started thinking, okay, well, I know the power of numbers and how, you know, knowing where it's coming from, going, all of that can change the whole trajectory of your company. And I started thinking, well, what are these big companies doing? What are these Fortune 500 companies doing? And my husband, you know, was working for a big company. And I'm like, how do they track this stuff? And he's like, we have a CFO. So I'm like, what is that? So now I'm looking into what does a chief financial officer do? And I'm like, this is what these companies need. But everything, you know, was saying, you know, these people are getting paid like $250 a year. So I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense for your local, you know, mom and pop deli or something like that. But what if I could take it and make it affordable? And that's how the company, the Chic CFO, was born. And we came out with this just very unique service. And it's funny because now I do see more virtual CFOs, but it's so not saturated yet. I mean, very few people are actually taking this approach.
Yeah, you were kind of early to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I still remember we were in the Bahamas and I vividly remember being on the beach with my husband and saying, I'm just going to do this. Like, and Brad was, like, my husband's name is Brad. He's like, well, people are so used to CFO, you know, being so expensive. He's like, I think using that terminology is going to throw people off. And I'm like, well, I'll have to educate them. Because I want to make sure they understand it's affordable for them, it's an option for them, and how it could benefit them. And it just took off to the point that 2 years ago, we actually sold both of our restaurants because this side of the business was just, I mean, it didn't make sense to even have the restaurants anymore. So
that's incredible.
Yeah, it was, it's been a hell of a ride. It really has been.
Well, yeah, and I love getting that background because, and I feel like we could do, I mean, honestly, we could do a whole episode on this. I love the background because for people who are listening, it gives them a sense of your journey and what you've done in business. And then obviously, you're just one of those people that can dive in and can immerse yourself and learn it, right? Now, obviously, you take that all that experience, and now we're dealing with a pandemic that the likes of which none of us have ever lived through. Or seen. And obviously, there's a whole bunch of impact from a health perspective, from an economic perspective, and the like. Explain how you've now taken on the task of learning about all of this and now working with businesses to help explain it, because that's how I heard about you. I had a chance to participate in a call, and you were fantastic at explaining everything relating to the CARES Act, which is something that I, you know, I work with on my clients as well, but I thought you did such a great job of breaking it down. But how did you start diving into that realm?
So one of my biggest missions with empowering entrepreneurs to understand their financials, I don't want to teach them to understand the financials in the way that the typical GAAP protocols, you know, typical accounting world lays it out. I really want them to have it delivered to them in words that make sense. So my biggest goal is to take something that is overly complicated and simplify it. So when all of this started going on, I felt on my end, the service that I give to my clients was going to be useless for a little bit, right? I mean, my job is to, you know, analyze their numbers, help them make operational decisions based on the data. Well, if they're not operational, what am I really bringing to the table? And I just thought, I need to find a way to be serving during this time. I need to pivot. So as I'm watching all of the press conferences and sticking up with the news and learning of this CARES Act, I thought, there's going to be so many questions about this. I need to actually read it and make sure that I put it into words for my clients. And this started as I really was just going to, you know, be updating my clients, my actual roster. And I read that CARES Act. I read it twice. I probably took 10 years off of my eyesight. I don't recommend reading it unless you like are suffering from insomnia.
Yeah, I mean, it's about 1,200 pages, isn't it?
It's like 855. It's around 855. Okay. But I read it twice and paid, you know, specific attention to the areas that were going to affect entrepreneurs. So I started with delivering the information and the updates to my clients. And the response was just so wonderful. They were so happy with it. And they started saying, hey, do you mind talking to my friend? Do you mind? Like, they wanted me to start talking to other people. And I thought, you know what? Let's just do a Facebook group and just start doing lives and put it out there. And it grew to like 400 members in like 4 days. It was the craziest thing. And it's continuing to grow every day.
Wow.
Yeah. It's been wild. It's been wild. And the messages I'm getting are like, people are offering to send me flowers. Like, I mean, it's incredible. And they're all, it's a very consistent message of, I've done several webinars, you know, I've spoken to my accountant, I did an SBA webinar, I did all these things, and nobody explained it the way you did. And I'm like, well, that's my goal. I wanted to take this very complex document and then follow everything that kind of was implemented after, you know, the CARES Act was signed, and keep people updated. And I think the biggest challenge with it is it's changing. Like, we should probably say that right now it's 1:10 on April 13th because it changes by 2 p.m. today. Maybe there's going to be an update already that's different. So it's been ever changing and evolving. And with me staying on top of it and being able to deliver it, not just to my clients, but this Facebook community I've now grown, it's been really powerful and it's helping a lot of people. And I've hopped on, like, we're on your podcast right now. I did someone else's podcast last week. I've been in Zoom calls and other people's Facebook groups. I'm just really on a mission to spread the word because this is a challenging time. It's a, if you're a business, I mean, if anyone, but particularly for business owners. And there's just so much out there and there's a lot of misinformation. You know, I feel I'm constantly putting out fires on social media, having to, as politely as possible, say, you know, that that's actually incorrect. This is actually the way that it reads. So I think it's probably overwhelming for your typical entrepreneur, where depending on what website you click, you're going to get a very different story. So I try to just keep my little corner of the internet full of the facts, and then help people kind of use those facts to decide, you know, well, what's the best course of action for me? Because obviously what's correct for me might not be right for you. We all have very different, you know, situations.
Well, and I think that's great. And I think that obviously at this point in time, I mean, if, first of all, if you're listening and you have not heard of the CARES Act or the components of it, then you've got bigger problems than anything else, because hopefully if you're an entrepreneur and haven't heard about it, you need to look in that. But I know that the time it takes to obviously walk through each aspect of it is extraordinary. So I think for purposes of the remaining time that we have, the part of it that I think most entrepreneurs at this point are trying to figure out is the whole Paycheck Protection Program, which is part of the SBA loan slash a grant, depending on how it's used, where essentially you can get up to, you know, a couple million dollars, depending on your business, based on your payroll and benefits over the last year period of time. There's other components, and I've had podcasts on this, and I think people know there's other components that relate to employees and retention and all that. And I would say for folks who are looking for that information to reach out to you directly and or to their accountant as well, and we'll give your information at the end of this podcast. But for purposes of the remaining aspect of the podcast, let's jump into the Paycheck Protection Program, because I still think there's a whole lot of people who are trying to figure that out. Yeah. They're in the middle of trying to apply for it. Some have already applied, wondering when they're going to get their funds. Some I know have applied and have already gotten the funds, which is good to know.
Yeah.
But let's talk about that. And if you could just maybe break down what that Paycheck Protection Program is all about.
Yeah. So with the PPP loan, we want to really listen to the name, right? It's called the Paycheck Protection, right? The entire goal with this loan is to ensure that we are getting people off of unemployment and back onto the payroll with their company. The government wants to make sure that businesses are staying intact, as they said, because the worst thing could happen would be we all go to reopen and we don't have staff, right? Maybe they're all on unemployment. They've become disenchanted. They're applying elsewhere. They want to try to keep companies intact because we can't open and really try to being in a rev up mode and trying to hustle and get those revenues back up there with a brand new staff that's training, right? So they really wanted to make sure that we could keep teams intact. So they created this loan. If your people are already on unemployment, you would just bring them off and bring them back onto your payroll. And what the loan is going to do is they're going to take a look. The lender that you work with, the bank that you were able to apply with, is going to take a look at either the last 12 months of your payroll or 2019. It is varying based on the lender. And the SBA is saying either route is acceptable. So there really isn't, you know, a right or wrong there. But some are going, my specific lender wanted the last 12 months. So it was April of last year to March of this year. Some want 2019. But what they do is they take the payroll report and you can include all of the benefits. If you are an employer who happens to have, say, a life insurance policy, medical, vision, dental, health, any type of retirement account set up, those are all going to count because we want to make sure that we're continuing to fund those accounts for our employees. The only thing that they are not going to include is the employer paid portion of federal taxes. So the employer paid portion of state taxes are going to be included and are going to be forgiven, but not the federal portion. So you take all of your payroll costs minus the employer federal, and we multiply that number by 2.5. And that's how we get what our loan will be for. Now, once you close on the loan, and remember, it's written as a loan, but we're going to get into how it's, you know, the majority of this should be completely forgiven. There is no personal guarantee. There will not be any type of credit run. They simply want to see proof of the payroll numbers. And keep in mind, this can be your employees, but the great thing for us is it's also including the owner. Now, those of us who are not an S corporation and are not taking a paycheck through a traditional payroll company, we're simply going to use our profit and loss statement. The profit and loss statement is going to show your net income number. And the same way at tax time, where the net income is what you're taxed on, because that's what they consider your income, they're going to consider it your income in this situation as well. So for yourself, you would use your last 12 months of profit and loss statements to determine what your average monthly pay is. And you'd simply take that number and divide it by 12. If you are a high earner or you have anyone else on your staff who's a high earner, you have to stop that at 8,300. So even if, let's say, it was 12,000 a month on average that you're taking, you're going to cap it at 8,300 because the government is saying, we're not going to pay anyone an annualized of more than 100 grand. So you'd go into your payroll and make sure anybody earning over that 8,300, we cap them off at the 8,300. Now that number is multiplied by 2.5 and you close on your loan. The day you get your funding, which should just be deposited into your bank account, and we're seeing it happen in as quick as 3 days. So the day that that is deposited into your bank account, your forgiveness period starts and it's going to be 8 weeks. And for those 8 weeks, you can spend out of that loan money, payroll, which of course is going to include the benefits and, you know, everything we discussed except for the employer paid portion of federal taxes. And then it's also going to include mortgage interest if you perhaps own the building where you operate. It's going to include your rent. Most people, I would say, lease the space where they operate. And it's also going to include your utilities and any interest on any liabilities that you have. So as long as your lease or your mortgage or your any line of liability or utilities was entered into by February 15th. So it all has to be, you know, backdated that you've started that. So if you just leased a facility in March, it's not going to cover it. But if it's prior to February 15th, all of these things can be forgiven in the loan. Now, they do have several stipulations that 75% of what you spend out of that loan does need to be allocated to your payroll. They also are stating that you have to keep your same average number of staff and you have to keep their same pay. You cannot reduce their pay. So this isn't a situation where an owner can say, well, all of my staff is on unemployment. I'm going to take this, you know, 75%, let's say it's 40 grand, something like that. I'm just going to give myself very big paychecks through payroll. No, they're going to monitor, did you have the same number of employees and did everyone's pay rate stay the same? So we can't reduce pay. We can't reduce staff. If you've already put your staff on unemployment, you just go ahead and bring them back. There will not be any penalty for pulling them off of unemployment and putting them back on your payroll.
Real quick to interject, and that's a great explanation of everything, in my opinion, and very easy to understand. One question that often comes up, and I know you've probably heard, is, you know, there's a lot of owners out there that whether they are solo entrepreneurs or solopreneurs, or they're employers that owners that don't pay themselves through regular payroll. They do it through distribution. It sounds like the way around it, because there's a lot of confusion on this, but wanted to get your take on it, that the way that they're addressing that is obviously they understand it is the Paycheck Protection Program. So it's to protect people who get paychecks. But the only way you protect people who get paychecks is that you have a business to begin with. And to have a business, you as an owner have to get paid as well. So I don't think the goal is to prohibit the owners from getting money that they need to live as well. But you're suggesting that essentially they can submit their profit and loss statements and they will be able to ascertain the amounts of distributions that came from the profit and losses up to a $100,000 on an annualized business cap for those folks. Is that correct?
Yes. And, you know, there's even terminology because they're very aware that, you know, not everyone has their finances in order. So not everyone is going to be able to produce a profit and loss statement. So the verbiage even goes as far to say that they will take bank statements. So they're really trying to make it, you know, if you can produce 12 months worth of bank statements and highlight the areas, these were deposits that came from my business. This is me getting paid through my business. They're going to take that as well because they really want to make sure that everybody is able to take advantage of this. And, you know, the big thing they did as well is they really made this not just your typical LLC or S Corp or C Corp. You know, this is your sole proprietor. And this could be someone who has no employees whatsoever. This could be someone who's a hairstylist at a salon and has a 1099 and they have 1099 income and they're able to show based on their 1099s, you know, here's my average monthly pay. We're going to multiply that by 2.5%. I don't have rent, utilities, or anything like that, but I'm going to pay myself for the next 2 months. Now, what you want to do when you're trying to decide, well, what route makes the most sense for me? You have to take a look at the unemployment option. And the way that the unemployment is working right now is you're going to get an amount determined by your state. Every state's different. So you'll have to complete your due diligence to say, okay, how much is my state going to give me? Let's say they give you $400. I know in my state, Delaware, the max is $400. On top of that, the federal government is going to give you a flat rate. There is no qualifier. So while the state is going to qualify you based on certain criteria and calculations, the federal government is doing no qualification whatsoever. Everyone just gets a flat $600 a week from them. So let's say you're getting $1,000 a week on unemployment. You really have to ask yourself, what was I making before? I spoke with someone the other day who wanted to do the PPP, was all about doing the PPP. And when we looked at her payroll, I said, well, you're making $3,000 a month. You stand to make more money on unemployment. So I would go down that route first before going through, you know, all this paperwork and process to get this PPP loan, because unemployment may be sufficient for you. But those who are high earners, those who have employees who are high earners, the PPP is the way to go because it really puts you in a situation where for 2 months at least, you can make sure everybody's getting paid at their normal compensation. Who knows how long this is going to last, but at least the 2 months will be good. And hopefully by the time it's done, we're back to normal somewhat. So those of you who know, I'm a high earner, my staff are high earner, we're all sitting on unemployment and unemployment isn't going to cut it. The PPP is a great option. Now, the flip side of this is maybe unemployment will cut it for you and your staff, but you have a facility. Once you have a facility and you know you're responsible for rent and utilities, you again want to explore that PPP option.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no downside to it. I mean, outside of, you know, committing obviously fraud or anything, which of course, when you do, no matter what the time is, you're gonna get in trouble for that. I mean, if you turn in your payroll and benefits and you turn in your profit and losses and you try to go get those funds, worst case scenario, if you're not using them in the proper way, it's going to turn into a low interest loan at 1% that's deferred for 6 months before you even have to start paying it. And that's amortized over numerous years to pay back. So worst case scenario is really not all that bad for the PPP, because you're right. And this is what I want to get, maybe your take, maybe you disagree with that. If you're an employee and you're looking at sort of what, you know, the kind of money you're getting from unemployment and vice versa, I mean, there's a couple of things there that I'd love to talk about. Number one is obviously as a business owner, once you let people go, even in the worst of times, it's always a process to get them back, right? Unless there's nothing else there. But also for those folks who are unemployed, they're going to need to be getting work as well. So even though it is pretty amazing, the money that they're going to be getting for unemployment, but at some point that's going to run out and they're going to need
to. The federal will end at the end of July. But there is, I want to go back to when you said the PPP loan, if you didn't use it on that stuff, it's just a loan. So it's a 1% loan. The payments aren't due for 6 months and you have to pay it off within 2 years. But there is a terminology in there that says if you knowingly used this loan for something other than paychecks and facility costs, you do open yourself up to federal prosecution for fraud. So that terminology is in there. So we want to be really careful because I have a lot of people saying, well, it's a great loan. It's 1%, six-month deferment, you know, 2 years to pay off. Maybe I'll paint my whole store, or, you know, put those new floors in. They're monitoring that. That is not what the loan is intended for. You know, the truth is in the name.
No, I love that you said that because that's what, and you did, that's what I was getting at where I was saying fraud or anything. You have to use these funds for what they're intended for. But there's also concern because, frankly, there's not a lot of clarity around what, I mean, there's clarity around the 75%, right? And then there's some clarity around the other 25%, but there's a whole lot of business expenses that might come into play that you can have people who are really concerned out there based on the terminology from the application that they say to themselves, you know, what if I'm just, I don't have any bad intent here. I'm just trying to utilize these funds and here's what I need it for. Are they going to come out and prosecute me? And my answer to when people ask me that is always, well, you need to talk to your legal counsel, you know, and your accountants to get their opinion on that. But the purpose behind this loan, the underlying purpose, is to help businesses and their employees stay afloat and get through this pandemic.
Yeah.
And there's an element of you got to use common sense. And it's probably not going to, I mean, I can't even imagine the resources that it could possibly or would possibly take after the fact for the federal government to come back and look at every single loan that's out there. I think they're going to end up looking at the ones that are obviously fraudulent. And then I think the other ones you may or may not get looked at. Of course, you want to do everything you can to stay within the bounds. You want to read it. You want to, you know, talk to professionals who can explain it. But even under those best case scenarios, right, it's still kind of confusing. I mean, it's not clear. There's a lot of broad language in there. And of course, the other 25%, you know, you got to pay You got to pay for rent. You got to pay for rent, other office stuff. That's where it starts. Yes. But there could be other things that I'm sure people are thinking of. Well, what if I had to pay for, you know, this in my business and it doesn't specifically fall into one of those categories? That's where I think, to your point, I don't think you want to look at the loan as an opportunity to go redesign your whole interior. I think that would be the wrong intent for what this loan is.
Yeah.
I think the way to look at it is, if you have something that's a necessity that you need, or something where, in addition to paying your employees, to paying your utilities, to keeping the lights on, there are other things that you need to do to keep those lights on, I think that's the intent behind where the loan money should go.
Right. And it's going to come down to your numbers too, right? If you are someone who, you're going to have a $300,000 loan, right? Because your payroll happens to be high. Let's say you've paid out that loan, you still have, you know, 40, 50 grand left. It's only going to take 10 or that or so to support the facility. So maybe the extra 30 you're using on other operational costs, and you're perfectly okay with it converting to a loan that, you know, is going to be due in 2 years. So you to look at your own numbers and see. But if it's a smaller one, you know, by the time that half a payroll, you know, you're maybe getting one or two rents out of it. So it really all depends on the size of your loan and the size of your payroll, because you do want to stick with, you know, 75% of it being allocated to pay yourself and your staff.
Yeah. And are you seeing, I mean, you've obviously worked with a lot of people. I've talked to a lot of people as well. And I know folks who have applied and some have received money. I know a whole lot more who haven't.
Yeah.
So I'm curious what your experience has been.
So I'm 100% seeing the small banks moving faster than the big banks. I think the small banks probably have less demand. The big banks are really getting inundated. So I'm also seeing small banks allowing people who are not a customer of their bank to apply. So I'm seeing better luck with the small banks for sure. But some of them are really, you know, they're getting that money in 3 days. And other ones of them, I mean, you can't even load your application into the website because it's crashing 2 and 3 times as you're trying to do it. And I've had so many people who are like, I got done the first page and then it crashed and I had to redo the first page and then it crashed again. You know, they're inundated. I can tell you, yesterday was Easter and I have clients that I'm doing PPP loans for, and I was getting emails all day from the lenders. So like, they were clearly not, you know, enjoying their holiday with their family. I mean, these people are working round the clock to try to service these loans.
And I'm recommending to everybody to have somebody help them with the preparation of the loan, because I know a lot of people are trying to go do it themselves. I think it's designed to be easy. And if it's easy and obvious and whatever, you know, that's fine. Go and do it. But if you have questions about whether or not you're submitting the right paperwork, the right documentation, if you have questions on how much to apply for because, you know, of the way that you're paid or the way that your books are, I highly recommend you work with somebody, you know, like you. Or
I'm actually really glad you brought that up. Not to cut you off, but I'm really glad you brought that up, because I'm seeing a lot of people in my industry charging astronomical amounts. And one thing that I want to be very, very clear about, it actually states in the guidelines that you cannot be charged for this. So if you are hiring someone like myself, if you're going back to your accountant and having them, they, you know, do the app for you, they cannot charge you. That is illegal. The DC has specifically sent money to the banks to pay for someone like me to help you. So if you are using someone, your lender has to pay them. The percentage that the person can be paid is outlined in the guidelines. I'm seeing people literally charging $2,000 to their customers to do these loans. And, you know, shame on them. Number one, it's illegal. But number two, it's not necessary, because the federal government did account for that. They knew that the average business owner was going to need help for this. So they said, we are going to allow a representative to do this for them. And that person can get paid by the bank. And here's the fee schedule. And we will pay the bank in order to pay out the agent who's doing it for the borrower. So everybody should be very aware of that. If your accountant is charging you to do this, either they are aware of it and charging anyways, which is in poor taste, or they're not aware of it, which means they're not informed, which is also in poor taste.
So you're saying that people who are charging to help and assist small business owners, solopreneurs, whatnot, with this application process should not be doing that. Is that correct?
Right. They should not be charging the business owner, the borrower. It blatantly states in the bill that they cannot do this. So what the federal government has done is they are allocating money to the lenders to pay the preparer. So someone like myself could prepare this for a client, but I wouldn't charge the client. I would charge the bank because the federal government is giving them the funds to pay someone as such as myself. The problem is that people in my industry are double dipping. They're charging their client. I mean, honestly, I've seen as high as $2,500.
That's no good.
No, and it's a two-page application. They're charging $2,500. And then they're also going to the bank and getting their agent fee. So, you know, everybody should really have their feelers out if their accountant is saying that either your accountant is misinformed, in which case you should be concerned, or your accountant has taken advantage of the situation, in which case you should also be concerned.
No, that's great advice, because certainly in this time frame, I mean, people need help, they want help, and they're turning to the professionals. You know, they've obviously contemplated that and provided a way for the professionals to get paid to assist, because right. People should assist.
Right.
You know, so that makes good sense. What's interesting today is that, and for listeners out there, they may not realize this, but this interview right now is really, it's one interview, but has been split into two parts, because when we were first talking, there were major tornado watches and storms in your area, and we got cut out. But that was fortuitous from this perspective, that literally in the time frame between when we first spoke and what, the day or two in between now finishing this up, there's been an update to the Paycheck Protection Program. So tell us about that.
As of, I think, about 9 o'clock last night, I saw it go live on the Treasury. So with our Paycheck Protection Program, we have 2.5 times our payroll. That's what we're able to borrow. And it stipulates that 75% has to be spent on payroll. So that other 25%, they are allowing to be spent on rent, utilities, mortgage interest, or liability interest payments. So a lot of, you know, specifically solopreneurs, we don't have those expenses, right? Like, I work from home. I think you work from home. We don't have rent and utilities. And the rent and utility cannot be for your personal. It has to be for a commercial property. So the idea was, well, we'll just take that 25% and put it all towards payroll, and we can make extra. So as of last night, they have come out and said, you know, quote unquote, this would cause a windfall. And that's not the intention of this. The intention is to keep your wages where they were. So we're not going to allow anybody to take more. But it was specifically written for the owner of the business. They have not clarified how it would be handled for the employees. So if we have this extra 25% and we don't have rent or any of the other forgivable expenses, can we give our employees a raise? Can we give them a bonus? That has not been clarified, but it has very plainly been written out that you as the owner can only take 8 weeks worth of pay. So whatever on your PPP application was determined as being your average annual pay, you're going to divide that by 52, and you can take that each week for 8 weeks. And that is going to be completely forgivable. If you take that 25% extra and you spend it on items that are not forgivable, such as if you do want to pay yourself the 25%, if you use it on, you know, different expenses that are not rent or, you know, the other ones we went over that are forgivable, it's going to convert to the loan. And again, it's a 2-year term with 1% interest. So it's not horrible terms. So if you want to use that 25%, go for it. But just realize it's not going to be forgiven. So that's clarification we were definitely waiting on. And if they would elaborate on the employees, that would really kind of seal the deal and answer the majority of the questions here.
Well, maybe we'll jump on a call in 2 days and
it'll be changed. Yes.
No, I know for me. So I'm working from home now, but no, I've got partners and an office, and we've got about 35, 40 staff total in our firm. So we've applied for it and it went through, but this is very helpful information, because these are questions that the people just, you know, don't know about. I saw in some of the chat forums on the franchise side, you know, people talking about that very thing is, you know, can you use some of this money to give raises to people you currently have? Well, I don't think there's anything in there that says you can't. I think there's also an argument that would say that that's an effort to keep employees, you know, right? I mean, even depending on the business you're in, some businesses are actually doing well right now. I mean, there's businesses that are doing well. So you got to keep employees. So, but I don't know, you know, we're just never going to have all of those answers. And again, as I've said in every interview that I've done on this, or any media that I put out on this, is, you know, there's no substitute for going to your local person, your local professional, your local bank, and get their input on that, because every situation is going to be a little bit different. And the thing just is changing so much.
Rapidly. Well, I think they really came from a place of, let's get this money funded as quickly as possible. You know, they started with the EIDL. That was a flop. They said they'd have money to us in 3 days. People are getting it now, which is about 3 weeks later than what they said. So I think with the PPP, their focus is, let's get this money out the door and we'll kind of get into the nitty gritty later. So it's a little bit backwards, but people are getting deposits. They're happy about that, but then they're nervous to spend it, because every time you turn around, they kind of tweak what's going to be forgiven. So for now, we know, as the employer, as the, you know, owner, you cannot pay yourself more, but it is to be determined if we can give our employees raises or bonuses.
So I will tell you, the only person I've talked to that's read this thing twice, so kudos to you. And I think obviously you know a lot about it and you're spending a lot of time staying on top of it. Tell me about, I mean, I know you've got a Facebook group. Where are you addressing this kind of stuff in a Facebook group, or what?
Yes.
What is your mechanism of who you're working with, how you're working with them?
Yeah. So I have a Facebook group called The Profit Factor, and I am live in there I just came off a live in there. I'm live regularly. It was 40 to 50 PMs a day. We're now up to about 50 to 60. My Calendly link is getting bombarded on my website. Every time I turn around, I've got an alert for another consult. So it's all really stemming, though, from the Facebook group. I have a ton of information and facts on there, and we're just updating in real time. So I sent something, you know, last night, like, hey, there's updates, like, I'll let you guys know tomorrow, like, trying to read through it now. So I give them information leading up to it. And then once I've read through it and digested it, you know, I hop on a live, and they're usually 90 minutes because I have so much to review. And then there's just so many questions.
Oh my God. And you still have a voice. That's amazing. So what's the Facebook group? I mean, how can people is it open? Can people go to it?
So there's a couple of questions, but it's literally like, how long have you been in business? And do you use QuickBooks Online? And do you agree to the rules, which are basically like, don't be an ass. But it's called The Profit Factor. So if you just go on there, you'll find, and search, you know, Facebook groups, The Profit Factor, it'll come right up.
And then any other way that people can get a hold of you, if they're, you know, there's some people who aren't on Facebook, or, you know, is what's the best way? What's the sure-proof way for anybody to get a hold of you?
Right on my website. So it's the Chic CFO. So it's the chiccfo.com. So a lot of people say the Chic CFO, but it's actually Chic, the chiccfo.com.
That's awesome. Well, listen, I can't thank you enough. And like I said, I'm so happy that our paths crossed from that, hearing you the first time, and you've certainly, you know, delivered again. And I highly recommend people to reach out to you on the PPP stuff and just in general, because, you know, you are very detailed in your, you know, reading and analysis of this, which I am sure bodes itself well for the CFO type work that you're doing and other bookkeeping type services that you provide. So thank you, Danae, for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
And then coming on after the storm too, which, we just gave a whole bunch of more value for that. So thanks again so much. Wish you best of luck. I know we'll definitely stay in touch.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of Franchise Euphoria. If you enjoyed this episode or have enjoyed the podcast in general, I would really appreciate it if you could go to iTunes and leave me a rating and review. It really helps to get this podcast out to more and more people. So the easy way to do it is go to iTunes and in the search box, put in Franchise Euphoria. You will then see my cover art and you click on my smiling face that says Franchise Euphoria and then click on the link that says ratings and reviews. It's that simple, but boy, oh boy, does it mean the world to me when people leave ratings and reviews. And like I said, it really helps get the show out there. Once again, would love it if you would go to iTunes and leave a rating and review if you enjoyed this episode or other episodes of the show. And until the next time, happy franchising.